Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Thank you for joining us and for listening in. I'm one of your hosts for today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here together with Susan Franson.
Good to be here with you, Ursula. And we have a great show for today.
That's right. This is the last day of KHOI's fall membership drive, and we ask you to listen today with a particular sensitivity to the value of local community through the lens of who we are. And KHOI was conceived as a local radio station and meant to express all that we are here in Central Iowa. And the station was built for that purpose, and it is a resource for all of you, all of us. And KHOI is non-commercial. It's really a service organization at heart. And it is here to serve you as a citizen, a resident, a neighbor, and today as a business person to increase the quality of your life. We're asking you to take out a membership today at this time and to help sustain community radio as a resource. Basic membership is $55, although we appreciate it if you can pay $100 for your membership. But even if you pay $5, we welcome your donation and that statement that you make that the money says that you are part of this community effort.
Speaking of local value, we plan for the next hour to focus on local business. The Saturday after Thanksgiving, that's a week from the coming Saturday, has been declared Small Business Saturday by City Council Cindy Hicks.
By the City Council.
Cindy Hicks, executive.
She's not single-handedly the City Council.
No, she's not.
I wish I was sometimes.
Cindy Hicks, executive director of the Ames Main Street Cultural District, is here with us to explain this.
Well, American Express in 2010 started kind of a grassroots effort to get people to shop at their local small businesses on the Saturday after Thanksgiving to support the businesses in our community who make our community unique. They're owned by people who live next door to you. Their children go to school with your children. When you buy something at a local business, part of your tax money stays in your community. It helps to fix your roads. It helps to keep your lights on the streets. And so when you shop at a small business, you are doing more than helping a local business person make a living. You're also supporting your entire community. And so we find that that is important here in Ames. It's important to support our community. We want these small businesses here. We want something that's unique, that makes us Ames. And so this year, we asked the City Council to proclaim November the 28th as Small Business Saturday in Ames. We already know it's Small Business Saturday nationwide, but we want to encourage our people here in Ames to support local small businesses. And so earlier this month, the mayor did so at the City Council meeting, and she asked the residents of Ames to go out on the Saturday after Thanksgiving and support a small business. On Main Street, which obviously is where I would love everybody to come and shop and visit and have a good time, but also in Somerset and in Campustown and all over Ames.
As I understand it, this is somewhat a counterpart to Black Friday, which focuses more on big boxes and what do they call it, Cyber Monday, which focuses on e-commerce. So this is, in a sense, a campaign to ask people to focus on local business.
Correct. And, you know, there was once upon a time when Black Friday was the Christmas tradition, the mm-hmm. holiday tradition. You got up early in the morning and you stood out in front of the big box store with your stack of ads, with your purchases circled, and you waited to go in with the crowd. And it kind of gave you, I don't know, a kickoff to the holiday season. And people like that tradition. Well, that tradition is kind of going away. Mm-hmm. You can get those deals on Thursday. This year, it seems like you can get them right now, a week early or online. And so the new tradition, I believe, for the people who like that kind of experience is going to be Small Business Saturday. You know, you get up on Saturday morning and you go out, you enjoy, first of all, personalized service with local people. Quite often when you buy something in a small business, it's the owner of that business that's running the cash register and helping you. And they have a vested interest in making sure that you're happy and that you tell other people what good service you got and what unique gifts you received and the quality of your experience. And so that's why we feel like this is really going to be the thing of the future. For those people who like that shopping tradition after Thanksgiving, Small Business Saturday is where it's at.
Okay, well, it's a connection to the future and also connection to the past as well. And
correct.
That's something that Susan was exploring today. We're talking with Cindy Hicks from the Main Street Cultural District. She's the executive director. And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central County and Central Iowa. Story County in Central Iowa. And thank you for stopping by, Cindy, and kind of giving a context. And Susan, you spent some time exploring what that means in reality here on Main Street, so we're looking forward to that. And Cindy, before you go, could you give them the website for the Main Street Cultural District?
It's www.aimsdowntown.org. So come down on Saturday and do a little shopping. I'm obviously very passionate about it. I could talk about it all day.
Real briefly, what is the mission of the Main Street Cultural District?
To advance downtown Ames as the destination location in Central Iowa, to advance the businesses and to preserve the history of downtown Ames.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks.
See you soon. And I think Jim Werbel is also here. I saw him peek in. So we would like to have him speak a little bit later, too, because he began what we call the business beat here at KHOI on Local Talk. And so we'd like to talk with him about some of, what the thinking that has gone behind that and the meaning of business in general. And Susan, But you really focused in on this issue of local business. So let's start with that.
Okay. Well, I'll explain of course, there are many, many local businesses that could be the subject of stories for this Small Business Saturday. But I wanted to go to the ones that have really weathered the storms, who were here back when Saturday night on Main Street was where everybody wanted to be. There was a little something going on in Campustown, and I learned there were actually 4 clothing stores in Campustown. Mm-hmm. And downtown had a totally different set of stores, including Yonkers and Penney's.
That's right. And on Saturdays, Main Street was very crowded when I was a child in the 1950s, and even though Campustown was a business district of some substance, it was relatively small, and really the majority of almost all of the shoppers in Ames could be found on a Saturday in downtown Ames. And like you said, the department stores were down here. And then in the 1970s, the Main Street experienced dramatic decline and then has been revived recently.
Yes, and so I wanted to get stores that had business owners who actually knew that decline, saw that decline. Actually, we have 2 live guests with us. We have Mark, I've known you forever.
Mark Junkin.
Mark Junkin from Cook's Emporium and Brian Smith from Everett's. And they both have stores that weathered this. Well, they weren't in business at the – they weren't – didn't –
Well,
almost,
the
worst of it.
So we get into that, you brought some clips of talking to some old-timers, right?
That's right. And this also has something to do with the nature of the survivors. The 3 stores that I visited were Swank's Jewelry and Emmerhoff's Shoe Store. And Swank's, when I did my interview this morning – Rick Swank was there all by himself, so he couldn't come in. And same with Emmerhoff's. Now, they do have a couple of employees, but it just happens that it's start of vacation, and So
can we hear one of these clips?
Yes.
All right, let's listen to...
Let's start with Swanks because I think that... No. Well, let's start with Swanks first.
I'm Rick Swank. Swank's Jewelers actually started in 1952 in Campus Town. Father started in 1952, moved down here in 64. I remember coming down here and, well, I actually swept out in Campus Town, and when we remodeled the store in 64, came down and helped him do that. So I've been basically, I graduated from Iowa State in 75, and I've actually been working full-time here since 1973. So
you actually started working full-time just at the time that the anchor stores, Penny's and Yonkers, moved out to the mall. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we've had a store here since then, and then we had a store up the mall also 10 years. So
why did you come back to just this store on Main Street instead of moving to the mall or keeping both stores?
Well, the mall, it took a lot of energy, a lot of time. You're open 7 days a week, only closed for like Christmas and Easter. So it just got to be too much time. And in the jewelry business, you have to have somebody there that's knowledgeable, knows what's going on, rather than, you know, somebody like maybe a clothing store, a department store, something like that. So it just became just logistics and less time.
And you preferred the downtown location?
Oh, yes, definitely. It's just a little bit more relaxed atmosphere. I'm working for myself. I don't have the high rent that the mall has, so it's better all around. My father ran this store down here, and I ran the mall store.
And that was really very difficult.
That's correct. What happened, actually, we originally started when we opened the mall store. We had a manager, but he became ill, had cancer, and passed away. So I got sort of, I was going to school then. I sort of got pulled into it and working basically full-time going to school, too. So I actually moved back down here in 1982. So I've been down here since 82.
So you have had a really good chance to see the ups and downs of the effects of the mall.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, the mall back then in the 80s brought a lot of traffic in and brought a lot of people in from areas like Webster City, you know, Boone, Marshalltown, and it had a big draw. But I think what has happened over time, the malls haven't drawn the people from those areas, and they're continually now start to go, I think, to Des Moines because they have a bigger array of stores, restaurants, and that type of thing.
So how have you managed to keep your jewelry store here on Main Street?
Well, we carry a lot of nice gifts for, like, weddings, baby cups, baby things. So we just have a little niche of nice items. If you're looking for a nice gift, we try to fill that, you know, niche people.
So I think that was Rick Swank from Swank's Jewelry. And a very interesting perspective of how they weathered the storm, you might say, on Main Street, and decided Main Street was a better place for them. Now, the next clip that I got was from Emmerhoff's, and this is a multi-generational family business, and I think, incidentally, it has a characteristic of downtown stores, and that is the little bell. They were having a shoe sale, which is why Mark Peterson couldn't come in, and so he had to be there. So you'll hear the bell going off. They have yesterday he did have some help, so the customers could be waited on. But they were coming in during our interview.
My name's Mark Peterson. I own Emmerhoff's Footwear.
How long has the store been here?
My grandfather started the store in 1941.
And how long have you been here?
I started with my dad in 1975. So it's been 40 years for me.
And I understood you to say your son is with you now.
Yeah, my son is fourth generation, and he started with me about 10 years ago.
How have things changed for you? And
well, you know, a lot of changes over the years. When I started with my dad, we still were in the midst of having Yonkers and Penny's downtown, and then at that time, most of them are now going out to malls. So I saw the start of the malls and what effect that had to downtowns. Luckily for us, we had some really strong businesses downtown, and we all formed a a committee or a group, Downtown Betterment Association at that time, and all got together and found ways we could keep downtown strong and keep downtown vibrant. And we also had a city council that was very pro-downtown. And between all that, we've been able to maintain a really good downtown. Business-wise for us, you know, things have changed. You know, back years ago, your competition was the other shoe stores. And then it turned out to be other shoe stores and department stores. And now it's other shoe stores, department stores, and internet. So a lot of things have changed. And, you know, for a downtown store like ours, an independent, what we normally have to do is find things that we can do that department stores don't want to do. For us, it's probably carrying a lot of widths and sizes where department stores don't want to do that. So we cater to those people that maybe have a harder time finding shoes just walking in into a department store.
And the quality of your shoes is also very high, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, that we can't compete with, you know, the Targets and those types of things, and nor do we want to. I mean, we want to be in the better grade shoes. We work with a lot of the podiatrists, a lot of physical therapists here in town, so we need to have good fitting shoes, good quality shoes, and good supportive shoes.
Do you have out-of-town business? Do you have people who come from surrounding communities who use your shoes?
Yeah, actually, for Ames, because where we're located in the university, I would say, you know, 60% of our business is out of town and probably 40% in town. We draw from about a 100-mile radius, a lot from towns like Marshalltown and Mason City, Fort Dodge, Carroll, Ankeny, even some Des Moines, too.
What is it about your shoe store that brings people from these larger towns?
You know, for us, it's widths and sizes. We carry a lot of really narrow widths, which a lot of stores don't do and department stores don't want to do. We do some wide widths now. We do extended sizes out to 11s for women's and 14s and 15s for men's. So, again, those are things that we can do a little easier than department stores can do at times.
And obviously, if your son is in business now with you, it's not a business you think is going to change a lot in the future.
Well, you never know. Change is inevitable. It's just you have to change with it. You have to stay ahead of the game. You never know what challenge is coming up. That's just part of being in business. So you just have to do what you do well and take care of the customers. And, you know, our biggest, you know, support for us is probably our customers that come back time and time again. And they do because hopefully we take really good care of them.
Were there any other kinds of changes in where the shoes came from?
Well, you know, back in the 70s is when the big change was. We were losing our manufacturers. Everything was going overseas. Most all the companies were bought by investors instead of shoe people, and the investors were going overseas because they could make more money by manufacturing overseas. So then all of a sudden, you know, it changed the way people looked at shoes. It changed the fit of the shoes a little bit. There's some good quality shoes coming over from overseas, but sometimes it changed the fit, and it changed the way we integrated with our manufacturers. It wasn't as personal as it was back years ago.
Also, of course, there were some very high-quality European manufacturers, particularly Italians, I believe.
Yeah, Italians were probably the highest quality market. You know, the first ones over the United States was Birkenstock and Echo, which were very good and still are very good European companies. But they were the ones that really started that migration of all the European companies coming over to the United States. And it just changed the comfort market, you know, especially. Everybody got used to different fitting shoes, got used to Euro sizes instead of our American sizes, and it just got the consumer more aware of all the different kinds of manufacturing and different kinds of products that were out there.
And you carry them all?
We try to. I mean, when we go to market, there's 2,500 companies represented at a market, and you know, obviously you're never going to get to all of them, but it's fun to look at what's out there and areas that we feel the consumer's looking for. So that's our job, is to always look, see what's next coming up.
And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We're taking a look at small businesses, local businesses, and partly in anticipation of what has been declared Local Business Saturday.
Small Business Saturday.
Small Business Saturday. And this is KHOI, and we are not a small business. We're a small organization. We're a small radio station, and we are local. We have definitely been designed to be the voice of Central Iowa, and today we're focusing on some of the business voices in Ames in the downtown area. And other times we focus on other voices. This morning we focused on the voice of environmentalists and the birds and the animals that are populating our state. Other times we have music on the radio station. We have an incredibly diverse amount of voices from the central area on local talk itself. Susan, you go out into the outlying communities. And all of this is brought to you only and is only possible only because you as the listener support this effort. And so during this, on our last day of Pledge Drive week, we are asking you to make that step, take out a membership with KHOI. Give us a call at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or just go online at khoifm.org. Or just stop by. Whatever makes this easy and possible for you, we will work with you to make sure that you can give us your support for the radio station. And again, basic membership is $55, although we'll take $5. We'll take $10. And we would love it if you would take out a $100 membership. And if some of you feel that you can go a little bit farther, we do have what's called the 500 Families Club, which means that if 500 people or families in our area would donate $250, we would basically make our operating budget. So consider becoming one of the foundational supporters of the station if you can. But we will be grateful for whatever you can give us. And let's keep the programs going and keep the voices on the air here on local, on radio in Central Iowa so that we can continue. The longer we stay on the air, the more voices we hear of our community. So today we're focusing on business. And Susan, you went around to some of the older businesses here on Main Street. And I think there's one more business that you did a recording at that kind of typifies the traditional businesses' names. There is nothing like the hobby shop to express, you know, the history of Ames and the history of Main Street.
Yes, it's a very interesting example. But one of the reasons I wanted to do these businesses that have been in been here through the hard times is because it's inspiring to think that we're going to be here for decades we get the support that we need, if we serve our customers. And that's
the key.
That's the key. That was the key that that we heard from Mark Peterson.
And so if you want to send in your complaints or compliments or feedback with your donation, believe me, we will read it.
Yes.
And we will respond.
Okay. Well, the next one is Doug Sampson and out at the hobby shop. And let's just play that. That's a different show. That's a different business. Owner-occupied.
Doug Sampson, and I was born in Ames in 1942. Grew up outside of Ames, but on a farm.
When did you start the hobby shop?
I didn't start it. It was owned by the Noids for 30 years, and I took it over in 1979. So it's been the hobby shop for 67 years.
And you have been here for
37 of those years. Yes. Yep.
Did you come to the hobby shop as a customer before that?
Oh, yes, definitely.
And what did you buy in those days?
Trains. Trains and model car kits. I had been in construction, was running heavy equipment, and during the wintertime I had 3 months off, and usually when it got too cold to move dirt, and I came in and always bought my model railroader magazine in here, and I had told them if they were ever interested in selling their business, I would be interested in buying it. I walked in March of 1 year, and they asked me if I was still interested, and I said, yes, I am. And within a month, I owned a business. And it only closed for 1 day because they had to go to a funeral.
Do you have any other employees?
Nope, just myself. One time I had to. We also had crafts in here for a couple of years, and it was too much, too many different items to handle. So I got out of the craft end of it and stayed with the model kits and the trains and the assembly type stuff.
And has the market for that continued pretty steadily all over the years?
Oh, yes. There's a need.
I noticed you have some, what look to me like tiny trains. Now, are those new?
Yeah, they're brand new. They're what they, that size is N scale, and then over here is HO, and then I also have the Lion-L, which is O scale.
So the Lion-L's the biggest?
Yeah, that I handle.
Yes.
There are trains larger than that, scales larger than that, yet.
So is the interest in the smaller scales because people have less room to lay out their tracks?
Yeah, that's the reason that the N scale came about was people did not have the room anymore to put up the Lion-L, and as the houses turned into ranch, the majority of them ranch style, where they didn't have the attics and the two-and-a-half-story houses.
So now you're marking on these little envelopes. What are those?
These are couplers. These are a coupler that fit the different cars, and you convert them to these couplers. They came with a coupler on them, what they called horn hook couplers, that became obsolete, basically. And the manufacturers switched over to this style of what they call a knuckle coupler. You can uncouple your cars and your engines by running them over a magnet. They'll uncouple.
Now, do you have to adapt your cars and if you have the old ones that couple the
other way? Yes, yes, yeah. That's what all these couplers, the different styles of these couplers there are.
But they can do it. They
yeah,
can,
yeah.
They
it's
can
all,
adapt their new.
It's all, right. And most all the ones now are coming out with this newer style couplers. All the manufacturers are putting that.
Well, from the outside, it looks like these have huge amount of detail. Do any of the, of any size, do they have interiors?
Oh, yes. Yes, you can get lighting and interiors for the passenger cars and details for the diesels and steam engines. You got all kinds of what they call detail parts up here hanging on the pegboard hooks. You can put the correct horn on them or beacon, safety beacons, safety lights.
And you can have the, you have the people?
Oh, yeah, we got the miniature people. in scale to the scale of your train.
Well, that was Doug Sampson at the Hobby Shop. And as you can see, even in something as traditional as electric trains, you have to keep up to date if you are going to market them and satisfy your customers. But now we have two live guests with us who have had stores that were here in the hard times. But I guess you didn't own your stores in those times. Is that right? Our guests are Brian Smith from Everett's and Mark Junkin from
Cook's Emporium.
Cook's Emporium. And so, well.
So welcome.
Yes.
Thank you.
We are so happy that you could come in. And you've heard now what other people went through, and so we'd like to hear what your strategies are for staying in business over the decades.
Well, I started in 1979, and it was when Main Street was just starting to recover from Yonkers and Penny's moving up to the mall. There were some businesses that were moving into Main Street, and more and more people were starting to come back and shop at Main Street. When those two large stores moved up to the mall, a lot of people, of course, followed them. And then the mall, of course, was new, and it was exciting, and it had a lot of stores that people in Ames had not had before. So there was a great deal of interest in the mall. But by 1979, people had realized that the mall wasn't, you know, the end all. And so they were back downtown shopping at some of the local stores also. And that was a good time for me to start. It was also the type of merchandise that I carry, of course, is kitchenware. And that was also a time when there was a great deal of interest in food and cooking. And people were cooking not just the same old thing all the time, but experimenting with cooking and taking classes in cooking and things of that type. And so it started out quite small, and we've grown, and now there we are.
You spoke about the pressures that you experienced when, or that Main Street experienced.
Yes.
When the big stores left Main mm-hmm. Street and focus went to the mall. What pressures do you see on small businesses today?
Well, the pressures on small business today are things like the internet and the big box stores that, of course, are able to advertise ridiculously low prices on things and things that would you might call lost leaders mm-hmm. and still make a profit.
So it's an issue of scale, really.
It's an issue of scale, yes. Mm-hmm.
And what advantages mm-hmm. do you see that a small store has today?
Well, most people seem to think that it's because they get service. We offer mm-hmm. service, you know, at our store that you don't get in a big box store. And we offer our gift wrap is free or complimentary, as some people might say. And gift wrapping is becoming almost a lost art because people buy things at big box stores or large department stores. That's not included. And then they've got this gift that they want to present to someone. And so they are using the gift bags and things of that type because they just don't have time or skill to do gift wrapping. And so people greatly appreciate that. They know that when they leave the store with something that they purchased as a gift for someone, why, it's ready to present to that person if they want it to be. And then other things, like they can ask questions like, well, how do I use this thing? What's it for? And there's someone there that knows how to use it and what it's for.
Are there any particular strategies that you've employed to deal with these times that wouldn't have fit before? How do you find your store changing?
That's a hard question to answer. I think we are changing by offering different types of merchandise.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting.
And things that are, yeah. We offer primarily only the very highest quality. And we frequently get customers that may come in and say, oh, well, I bought this at wherever, and it was so horrible I took it back after 2 weeks, or I threw it out after 3 weeks, and now I want something that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
That's probably the mm-hmm. most important strategy for that we have.
But it's interesting that you didn't have an answer right away, so that tells me that it's mm-hmm. not something that you're finding you need to spend an extraordinary amount of time, that you're kind of relying on what has always been your brand, which is high quality.
High quality, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we also offer cooking classes, and that helps people, you know, learn how mm-hmm. to do different things, how to use different types of cookware and things of that type. And so that's mm-hmm. another thing that we do.
Well, Brian Smith is also here with us. You're from Everett's, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So we're going to ask you the same questions because I think it's really what we're looking at today is how do you see the pressures have changed at Everett? Now, Everett's has been in Main Street for how long?
Everett started in 1922. It's always been on Main Street or within a block or so of Main Street.
It was 1922.
Moved. Correct. That was was the original owners of the Everett's family.
That's right.
And my wife and I were the fifth owners, and mm-hmm. I've been there for 30 years. I was there for 12 years, and then we bought it, and now we've owned it for 18 years. And it's, you know, talking with a previous owner, Peggy Harrison, she just – almost a year ago now in January is when she finally stepped down at the age of about 85. We said at Valentine's Day, we said, we got through Valentine's Day without you, Peggy. I think it's time for you, or it's okay for you to retire now.
How do you how do you experience the tradition that you're inheriting?
You know, working with Peggy, she was like a mom figure to me, and a lot of people thought she was my mom. But we had a great relationship from day one. We trusted each other. We critiqued each other. We, you know, bounced ideas off each other. And so it was like a family business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, serving the community like that, too. You know, when you're working with people from when they're born to when they die, you're seeing all the things mm-hmm. throughout people in our community's lives. And, you know, celebrating those joys and sadnesses with them. And I think that's a big – that's a very important thing. I think – and a lot of the businesses on Main Street are like that too, you know, mm-hmm. from shoes to cooking to clothing, all that. You know, you're – we're working with these people from day one to the time that they die.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds in a way like, you know, rhetoric, but it is really true.
Yeah, very much so.
Anybody who grew up in town, I think, would – say that's a very real experience.
Yep.
Yeah. What is the thing about Everest you think that has survived? I mean, through the years, what is that kernel of essence that you feel that you know, have inherited that you want to pass on at the store?
A big thing is the kind of the family feel to it, the caring for people, and the quality, the high quality, the high standards that we have in things. With our merchandise and just the way, you know, we treat people, I think is a big thing.
So that you feel that's your brand is kind of good quality and
good service. Yep.
Good service.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And what pressures do you see being put on you today?
Like Marge said also, I mean, it's the big box stores. It's the online shopping, things like that. But you have to watch that and be mindful of it, but you also, you know, we have to compete with that somewhat, and we have to change over time. I've seen many changes in our business, you know, in the 30 years that I've been there. Our advertising is probably one of the biggest changes I've seen.
Explain.
You know, when we first started, you used to do a lot of newspaper ads, and you do radio ads, and you might do some television, and, you know, there's just so many different things that you would use for advertising, and a lot of it got so expensive and it was very difficult. And then you would start grouping together and do group ads. And now more and more we do like the Facebook. We do, you know, it's more people want that instant, you know, information out
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're having to learn a lot of that that type of advertising and that type of interaction with people also. And
mm-hmm.
so that's changed. We don't do hardly any print ad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We still dabble in some of the, you know, cable or the TV ads, things like that that people are watching, so you can do little short bursts. And like the Cultural District did a big group type of thing where we could tag on with other businesses and mm-hmm. with the Cultural District and do a group ad. And some of the – then they become a little more affordable for a small business like ourselves.
Mm-hmm. How did Everett survive the days when Main Street was essentially pretty empty?
Yeah. Visiting with Peggy, she's told me about some of those times, and she says it was difficult for a while when a lot of the big department stores did leave, and Woolworths was downtown, Montgomery Ward's, mm-hmm. Penny's, all those. And she said for a number of years it was difficult. And fortunately, it's flowers are one of those things that it's not a necessity, but it's – people still included that in their everyday lives as far as, you know, getting married, weddings and anniversaries and holidays and things. But those have changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Easter and Thanksgiving now, everybody goes out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's changed. We don't have near the business on those days as we used to. But I think just surviving and of changing with the times. And we've changed. We're not just strictly flowers. We've pumped up our gift line. We've pumped up our home interior, home decor. So we've had to change over the years too.
Well, I found the flowers, the change in flowers is the greatest. But I also noticed you said you came as a designer, and you can feel the art in that store, even though it's not full of flowers like it used to be. It's a beautiful store.
Sure. Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you were saying, I think everybody can be a flower arranger, but not everybody can be a flower designer. You know, and come up with those designs, those special and unique mm-hmm. things. And we get people from all over Central Iowa. We get a lot of people from Des Moines and Ankeny, Marshalltown, Fort Dodge that come in. We had people like for the open house just last weekend that came, they come from I can't remember if it's Mason City or Fort Dodge every year, just because it's such a unique.
I'm curious. Do either of you sell online as well?
We haven't set up – we have a website and everything, and we do somewhat, but we don't – we haven't set it
up. How about
totally.
You? Do you?
The only thing we sell online is through our bridal registry.
Uh-huh.
People, you know, who may live a long ways away can order things that the couple has selected that they would like to have online. Mm-hmm. And we have a special setup for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Local Talk on KHY Community Radio, and today we're talking about small businesses, and partly in anticipation of Small Business Saturday and partly just because we're just interested in businesses. And Jim Werbel is here. He kind of started the business beat on KHOI, and he's been patiently sitting here, and we're going to get to you in a minute to find out why you even got us thinking, focusing on business so much. But before we talk to Jim, I want to ask you if you have any last thoughts that you'd like to share.
I thanks for inviting us in here to talk about small businesses. Mm-hmm. I think it's an important thing for Ames and a lot of the small communities. And as I drive, you know, around, you see so many of the communities that there's hardly anything in a lot of the small towns now. Mm-hmm. And we have people that come in all the time and say they just love our downtown and our Main Street. It's thriving and doing well. And it hasn't always done that. You know,
yes.
But it's, you know,
but
we hang in there.
It creates a there,
yep.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
I remember the days when basically Main Street was for dragging. That's, you know, dragging Main Street. Yep. That was about it. But I also, you know, my mother also started a business on Main Street, yep. Cheese and Puppets, right. When it was pretty empty. And I remember Everett's was always there. And I remember the day when she came in, she said, oh, there's a kitchen supply store coming in. It's called Cook's Emporium.
Yes. And I was right next to her at that point in time.
That's
yes.
Right. That's right.
And we've had a number of changes even just recently. There's a number of businesses that are leaving, but already a number of new businesses coming in. So
that's
it's
right.
It's great to see that there's, you know, very few empty storefronts.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming in and being part of our show. And this is KHOI, and we are in a fund drive right now, and we're asking you to be part of this conversation. And the way you can be part of it right now, you can call in if you want. If you want to call into the station, you should call 515-292-2878. And mostly this week, we're just asking you to participate by taking out a membership and saying, I have been listening to KHOI for a while. I'm finally going to make that move and just pick up the phone and call up and say, I want to give you some encouragement. I'm going to join this station. Basic membership is $55. If you don't want to talk to us, that's fine, too, because we do have a website where not only can you listen to us online at khoifm.org, you can also push that little donate button and make a donation online, and you will never even have to talk to us, but we will benefit from you supporting community radio. So, again, basic membership is $55. And thank you for listening to us, and thank you for supporting community radio. And we do have one more person in the room with us.
Jim Werbel is with us. Now, Jim, you started the business beat here at Local Talk. This is really an important part of our community. So we are glad you've been developing this. So let's talk about that.
Okay. I started the business beat, well, partially out of my own personal interest. It's I am a retired business professor of management. I believe a lot of people don't really understand business. They think everybody's just interested in greed and money. And there are businesses like that. I don't want to say there are not businesses like that. But the vast majority of businesses understand that the purpose of business is to provide, is to change people's lives. And if you see businesses changing people's lives, everybody goes, cool, versus it's all about greed. And the successful businesses get it's about changing people's lives.
Yes, I think that was one of the things that was so inspiring about our conversations with the longtime business people on Main Street. You know,
I think you're right, Jim. I mean, commerce has been probably one of the greatest driving forces in the history of our world, mm-hmm. really. I mean, when you think of what the topic of spices alone did to change the world as people traveled around, apparently for many years, looking for spices was like the thing to do, you know? And today it has the status almost of what oil has today. Mm-hmm. And the search for spices took people into completely different worlds and completely connected cultures that had never connected before.
Great Columbian Exchange, it's called. It's a fascinating topic.
That's right. So, you know, commerce is part of culture and a part of how people connect with each other.
Very much so. No, but it's really as you've heard today, these people have to care about the customer, and if they don't care about the customer, you have to be a monopoly or an oligopoly in order to survive. There, you know, I can mention some names of companies that mm-hmm. are well known for being very insensitive. If we could talk about what Terry Branstad recently did, that's getting a lot of political attention. And those are basically monopolies or oligopolies, and they don't care that much. And all they really care about is greed because they have a government contract.
But it's interesting, when you're a small local business, you kind of are held to a very strict standard, is that if you're not providing a service or a product that really means something to people, you won't survive. So it's a real kind of clear-cut test of the difference between what's in your head and what is out there in reality. So it's a very, very interesting barometer of what's happening in a community. Now, Jim, you—
it's not only that, it's that businesses also affect employees' lives, which is not understood. I did the interview with Sigler, and there is that they clearly influence their employees' lives. Sometimes businesses influence, if you have a sweatshop, you know, it can influence them negatively. And there's other companies that operate very ethically and with their employees. Let me put it this way, not very ethically. They do their best to treat their employees well. There's always problems. You've got employees. People are difficult to deal with, period. And you always have disgruntled people who don't like things. But a good company does their best to treat the majority of their employees well.
You brought a few examples of some of the interviews you did.
Right.
Did you bring one from Sigler?
I got – you want to put the Sigler one on, Rick? Sigler was a real surprise interview for me. I went there, and I had no idea what I was doing, honestly. And this was just a total serendipity interview that took a lot of creativity to pull together, and I just stumbled on the right topic, and here's the right topic. I understand that Sigler has some what people would call progressive business practices. Would you please describe some of the progressive business practices that exist at Sigler Companies?
Well, we try to really embrace every day the values of our company. And I know a lot of people talk about company values. And a lot of times those company values are decided by a management team or a leadership team in an organization. But our values were established by our coworkers. And our coworkers came together and really focused on what are the things that are going to guide us every day to get the job done. And so we empower all of our coworkers to live those values, not only in the work that they do, but in their work with each other. So we do a lot of things to promote appreciation, I think is the best way to describe it. We have an internal program called SCORE, and that's Sigler Companies Recognizing Excellence. It's something that we started, our coworkers started back in 1999, and it still lives on today. So we cheer each other on, and by that we have certificates that we write each day to each other. You get 5 points for thanking a coworker for something they've done or recognizing excellence, and you get 5 points for recognizing your coworker. We try to promote that because we really believe that cheering each other on and being appreciative for the work that we do, not only for our customers, but with each other, is important. At the end of the day, when you receive a compliment from a coworker, it goes a long way to making you motivated and wanting to come to work the next day and wanting to do a great job.
Beth described some of the progressive business practices that exist at Sigler. Let's hear from some of the employees what they said about Sigler's business practices in terms of treating its employees.
The best part about Sigler is the people. And we're like a family. We just, every day is teamwork and care and compassion for one another and our clients. And it's just a great environment and place to be.
Again, the people that we work with, the great teamwork that we all have, and everybody just really pulls together and does a great job.
And thank all your wonderful employees for helping you out throughout the day. If you're having a hard time, just give them a thanks. It kind of boosts everybody's spirits. Everybody else can hand out to another employee that has each one of our values on them. So you can specifically thank someone for all their gratitude, their leadership, and then they get 10 points to use on our awesome score store to get stuff that we embroider and screen print on.
This is Local Talk, and we're talking about business today. We spoke with a few small local businesses in the first part of the show, and now Jim Werbel is with us. Jim has been a reporter with KHOI Local Talk for almost a year now, and we love having you, Jim. It's really great. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for coming today. I know you're planning to leave town. And
Not for a while, not with the snow coming down.
Yeah, and by the way, folks, the snow is here. We're looking out the window, and it's still kind of pretty and exciting to see it. So over the river and through the woods. So anyway, Jim, your innovation here at Local Talk was to start the Business Beat.
Mm-hmm.
And we've created a web page, and we're planning to put interviews with businesses on the web page. But tell me a little bit, what is your own background in business?
My own background in business is actually very, very, very limited. I stumbled on a business career very awkwardly. It's a long story. It was totally by luck. I wound up talking to somebody in animal psychology, and he told me to talk to Larry Cummings, who's a professor of management, and then I stumbled on it. I would have a background in master's degree in counseling and guidance. So I actually have no bona fide years of business experience other than some consulting.
But you were at Iowa State, right?
Right.
And what did you do at Iowa State?
I taught management for 20 years.
Business management?
Business management, yeah.
Okay. So you must have thought about it a little bit.
About what?
Business
management. Yeah. No, I know a lot. And that's why I think business is exciting, because when I would teach the course, I would say, it's you're a change agent as a business owner and leader and manager, and you're trying to make people's lives better. And all of us, you know, some people got that message, some don't. But that's something. It's all about greed. Well, it's not.
So, what's your mission in starting the Business Beat?
I think business is cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. There's a lot of things that are happening. I don't think it's all good news, and there's some businesses that operate out of greed, and that those topics need to be covered as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Bakken pipeline, which this station has covered, needs to be covered, because it's not always hunky dory. But on the other hand, one of the interesting stories I did cover was the airport expansion, which shows that the business community can come together with the public sector, in this case the city of Ames, and Iowa State University, which is also public sector, although athletics, I don't know what athletics is exactly, but it's about how different people came together to do something, which is exciting, and they see themselves as an important part of the community. Dan Culhane wants the city to be the best that it can be, so it can be attractive for recruiting, so that businesses in Ames can succeed and survive and thrive. So there's a lot of shared interests that overlap. Anyhow, let's hear the airport story. I'd like to welcome Dan Culhane to the show, who is the president and CEO of the Ames Chamber of Commerce and the Ames Economic Development Commission. Welcome, Dan.
Good morning, Jim. Nice to be here.
Well, we're talking about the Ames Airport, as you know. I hear that the Ames Economic Development Commission has been actively engaged in the funding of that.
We have. What started out as a partnership between the City of Ames, Iowa State University, and the Ames Economic Development Commission. You may recall the city essentially promised to build a new terminal for the airport, and in turn, the Ames Economic Development Commission, or the AEDC, promised to raise sufficient funds to build a short-term storage facility or a hangar for visiting aircraft.
why would the Ames Economic Development Commission be at all interested in a hangar?
We're interested in the hangar and the terminal and the overall improvements to the airport. We think it's important because of the economic for economic development and economic vitality here in Ames and Story County. We see more and more companies locating operations in places like university towns like Ames, but their decisions are made elsewhere. And sometimes those decisions are made in Chicago or New York or Ingelheim, Germany. And these companies have corporate aircraft, and it's easier for them to drop into Ames versus flying into Minneapolis, renting a car and driving 3 hours, or sometimes flying into Des Moines and driving up from the Des Moines airport. And so it's convenience. It's the speed of business in many, many ways.
This is Local Talk on KHOI, and we've been talking today about small businesses in the area. And we're here now with Jim Werbel, who is one of our Local Talk reporters who started the Business Beat. And this is going to be a series of interviews dealing with issues surrounding business. And we will also be posting the interviews with business members on our website at khoifm.org as these interviews are made and as our faithful webmaster, Ron Carson, can get this all up. We're creating more and more work for him. And as KHOI grows, and we would like you to be part of that growth, this is the last day of our fund drive, and we ask that after listening to us beg for a week that you finally give in and
surrender.
And you'll feel better afterwards. We promise. So please, basic membership is $55. And thank you to those of you who have already made your pledge. We incredibly appreciative of every single person.
We'll continue to take pledges after today, even though the pledge drive is officially ended. They'll be coming in for a few days. So please, if you're going to send it in the mail or the website, you can do it that way too.
Yes, the website is khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org, where you can also hear us streaming online. And there is a donate button there. Also, you can just walk down to 410 Douglas and give us an envelope. And people are doing that, and it always feels great to just walk in. And then that also gives us an opportunity to say to you, would you like a T-shirt or would you like a mug to take with you? Because we do have them. They just came in. They're nice and fresh and new and ready for anybody that is interested. Come on down, and we will give you a thank you gift. But mostly, you'll just feel great because you'll know that you're supporting community radio. And again, the phone number is 515-292-2878. Of course, you don't have to call us. You can just come by or you can go online. But the truth is, when you call us, it really makes us feel great.
And when you're downtown for Small Business Saturday, we are in the home, the historic home of a small business, the Pantorium. Please don't bring your dry cleaning.
Bring a check.
Bring a check.
Bring a check. Support community radio. And sorry, we can't clean your clothes, but we can give you something to think about, and we can include you in the process of building community through communication.
Because we really want to serve our customers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for listening today. And Jim, wanted you to have the last word?
No, I think it's time to go. Keep the snow.
Keep the snow. And keep listening to KHOI. And please send in your donation. $55, $100, $250, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000.
We're out of time.
We're out of time.
I don't know.